WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Artists and performers rarely let outsiders see their warm-ups or preliminary work, but recently Peter Gabriel defied convention and released a record of music that he used as source material and inspiration for his soundtrack for Martin Scorsese's The Last Temptation of Christ. World music critic Milo Miles says the soundtrack and its sources show not only how Gabriel worked, but a lot about the difference between folk music and pop music.
Scratch many rock and roll activists, particularly the British ones, and you'll find a school teacher, a moral reformer with a good sense of rhythm. So when that old sledgehammer man, Peter Gabriel, put out not only his Scorsese movie soundtrack, Passion, but Passion Sources, the music he studied to write the soundtrack, you know he was trying to teach us a lesson. Fortunately, Gabriel is a sly and funky professor. See, he was set to provide accompaniment for this whacked-out version of a Bible story. So naturally, he drew on the Middle East for singers and fiddlers and Northern Africa for desert dance beats. That's a workout popular with Egyptian farmers who are known as Fallahim. Gabriel needed some drones and spacey effects as well, so he called on some Indian musicians like veteran jazz fusion violinist El Shankar. To finish off his stew, Gabriel tossed in a bit of Ethiopian bar band, some Sufi religious music, and a dab of solo Turkish flute. But whatever elements were joined in Passion Sources, it plays like folk music. A clever connoisseur's selection of it, but folk music nonetheless. The Passion soundtrack itself, however, is a world pop record. Why is Passion clearly pop when it includes several of the same musicians and some of the same rhythms and melodies as Passion Sources? Well, Peter Gabriel plays synthesizers and adds instruments like electric guitar, but the main point is he bends every African, Asian, and Indian influence to his will. He doesn't try to fit his arrangements or sense of pace into his folk sources. Brit rockers have always been particularly canny about this sort of transformation. Remember, the Rolling Stones didn't just copycat Chuck Berry and Muddy Waters tunes. Even after you heard the originals, the inventions of the Stones were undeniable. The final distinction between folk and pop is how much the music speaks to non-specialists, mere foreigners. Passion Sources sounds about the same on the 10th listen as it did on the 3rd. Passion, on the other hand, just gets more and more coherent and turns friendlier and more conversational with repeat hearings. It was made by a truly international pop performer. Passion remains a soundtrack, though. It's driven by the need to create various moods rather than its own internal pulses. The first side is quite peppery, high noon boogie. The last side is quite languid, late night noodling. But whatever time it is, you should study under Dr. Gabriel and give yourself an A just for doing it.
Milo Miles is a freelance journalist who writes regularly about pop music for the Village Voice. He reviewed Passion and Passion Sources, both on the Real World label.